Just days before the Iowa caucuses, there's a new book out about Republican presidential candidate and New Jersey governor Chris Christie, written by a reporter who's covered him for years. Matt Katz has written for the Philadelphia Inquirer. He now reports for WNYC and New Jersey Public Radio, and his book is called American Governor Chris Christie's Bridge to Redemption. He joins us now. Matt, welcome.
Thank you.
And let's start with the word in the title of your book, bridge. Of course, a lot of people know about the Bridgegate scandal that involves Chris Christie, or at least many of his aides. What do you know about what happened, what he knew?
We know that we have absolutely no evidence indicating he knew about this scheme to close lanes headed to the George Washington Bridge, the busiest bridge in the world, in order to retaliate against a mayor who didn't endorse his reelection. He's never released emails from his administration, so we don't have any documents indicating that he planned this. My book looks at what happened in the 4 months between the time the lanes closed and the times we found out what really happened, which was 4 months later, thanks to a smoking gun that was released due to a subpoena. And there are several questions about, in my mind, to this day, about what Christie's top people and Christie himself knew and had heard about what could have really gone down and why they might have not done more to try to suss out what had happened.
But if there's no evidence that can directly pin this on Chris Christie, why does this continue to dog him, this issue?
When this scandal happened, he was riding high, and he had ridden to national fame on two things. He came in as governor of New Jersey as a corruption buster. That's what he made his name on as a federal prosecutor, and that's why he gained prominence in New Jersey. And then he gained prominence nationally as being sort of a straight shooter. And the Bridgegate scandal, even though it didn't implicate him directly, it showed that his administration was involved in dirty tricks. And it also, what it did, it led to relentless months of media coverage, negative media coverage. And that forced Christie back on his heels. Christie, as a communicator, is very aggressive. And he's best when he's attacking opponents, when he's out there every day talking to the press. He couldn't do that after Bridgegate. He really kind of like was hidden for a while. He was toxic in some Republican circles nationally, and it set back what had been a long game plan to run for president. And I think that's part of the reason that he's still kind of suffering from this, even though it doesn't really come up every day on the campaign trail.
You talk about his time prior to being governor as a federal prosecutor who painted himself as tough on corruption. He has talked on the campaign trail about the fact that, as he says, he was appointed U.S. attorney the day before 9/11 and is the only candidate among the Republicans who has filed applications under the Patriot Act. A lot of people have raised questions about those claims. What's really true?
It's true that he did use the Patriot Act as a federal prosecutor. It's half true that he was appointed on September 10th. He got the call that he would be nominated on September 10th, 2001. He came into his position in January 2002. And you can look at his term as U.S. attorney in two ways. On one hand, he was a federal prosecutor in New Jersey where some terrorists had come from on 9/11. They were living there before the planes were hijacked. New Jersey has a lot of terrorism targets. Many people died in Ground Zero who lived in New Jersey. This was a very significant role that he had, really on the front lines, on the front lines of terrorism within the homeland. However, the means in which he went about prosecuting cases are, to this day, controversial.
Well, you point out that, yes, some of his big cases after 9/11, it wasn't clear that the people that he prosecuted successfully were all that involved in terrorism.
That's correct. He prosecuted there were two major cases. One involved an alleged attempt at an attack on Fort Dix, a military installation in South Jersey, and one involved in an alleged plan to shoot rocket-fired missiles at planes coming out of Newark Airport in Newark. In both cases, however, the feds, and overseen by Christie, used paid informants to infiltrate suspected terrorism cells. cells. And in both cases, these alleged terrorists were unable to get weapons on their own, and they were actually given weapons rendered inoperable by the feds, and that's when the arrests were made. If you listen to some of the tape recordings, there's some question about whether these supposed terrorists really had any plans or even the means, the desire, or the know-how to go and carry out a terrorist attack. Christie says 9/11 changed everything and that we had to be more proactive, and he's been consistent about on the campaign trail. I mean, he is running as a hawk. He is running as somebody who is not going to, hand-wring over civil liberties when he's going out trying to go after terrorists.
He was attacked by Republicans for being too chummy with President Obama during Hurricane Sandy. Now he's out on the campaign trail calling President Obama a petulant child and other names. What does he really feel about President Obama?
Yeah, that's not as inconsistent as it seems. And that's because Hurricane Sandy happened a few days before the 2012 election. To that point, Christie was Mitt Romney, the Republican nominee's most important surrogate next to Paul Ryan, the vice presidential nominee. I mean, he was traveling the country every day, and he was blasting Obama for not being able to find the light switch of leadership in the Oval Office. And Christie has, reclaimed that attack dog role against Obama, and some say he has even crossed the line and been disrespectful of the presidency by some of the ways he's described the president. But in some ways that's a way of him, making up for some distrust that he has among the Republican base because of this so-called embrace of Obama during Sandy. But on the other hand, it's not inconsistent with who Christie was before Obama welcomed him to the Jersey Shore.
And his poll numbers have dropped dramatically in the state of New Jersey. Does he care about that? Does he care that the people in New Jersey are not happy with his performance now?
He says he doesn't care. New Jersey, he's not going to win New Jersey if he were to be the nominee. It'll probably go to whatever the Democratic candidate is. But it's starting to seep into the national consciousness, and his opponents, particularly supporters of Ohio Governor John Kasich, who is a rival of his in the New Hampshire primary and is very popular in Ohio, are using that as a point against him and saying, hey, why do your own people who know you best, why do they not like you anymore?
So one of the things about Chris Christie, ever since he's been in the public eye nationally, is that he is a very overweight person. Does that bother him?
It does bother him that he is overweight. It bothers him about his health, and he's concerned that he wants to be around for his he talks about his kids and his grandkids and being around for them, which is why he had lap band surgery a couple of years ago. And that did result in him losing a good deal of weight. But he still faces – I was watching Jimmy Fallon this week. Jimmy Fallon has had Christie on his show many times. Christie considers him a friend. And Jimmy Fallon just lobbed a cheap fat joke. And, he's had a complicated relationship with the public perception of his weight. He was nearly brought to tears in talking about it with Oprah Winfrey several years ago. And he's also tried to play along. He ate a donut on Letterman's show. I definitely think part of it bothers him. And it's also part of the reason why I called my book about him American Governor, because I actually think this struggle is so nearly universal among Americans. It makes him much more of a real person. But he has rarely, given us, a true, full sense of how he deals with it when he's, alone at night watching late night TV hosts taking cheap shots at him.
What do you think is going to become of Chris Christie if he doesn't get the Republican nomination?
I think there's many scenarios. I think if a Republican were to win the White House, I think Christie would be on a short list for attorney general. I think he would give the presidency another shot. Let's say there was a Democrat in the White House. He's in his mid-50s. I could see him making another run again. And I certainly can see him moving into the media, getting a show, a politics show, being a political consultant. And I one day imagine him being like the commissioner of a sports league where you have a lot of power, where you can make unilateral decisions. You don't have to deal with a legislature. I could see him as like an NFL commissioner or a Major League Baseball commissioner. He'd be able to go to all the sports games he likes. He enjoys those perks. That's my offbeat suggestion for his future.
That's Matt Katz, who is the author of the book American Governor, Chris Christie's Bridge to Redemption. Matt, fascinating book. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jeremy. Appreciate it.